you know, it's tough. You know, of course, we always want to taste the mix, either in the microwave or if you're going to saute it, then, you know, a little bit, or steam it. Do something where you're cooking the mix before you taste it, because there's raw egg, raw meat, poultry, whatever. This is where recipes really help. And getting the seasoning right. So once you've made a mixture and you taste it, I need more salt, I need more of this. Getting that extra seasoning back into the mix is difficult. Sometimes you don't mix it thoroughly again, or maybe in this case now you're over-mixing. What I do is I take all the wet ingredients. So I beat the eggs, whisk in the ricotta, the seasonings, the Parmesan. And the Parmesan kind of acts like the breadcrumbs here. You know, that mixture will get fairly thick. And then is when I add the meat in and blend it together until it's an homogeneous color. But this way the seasoning, spices, everything is already mixed into the liquid. And then you're just kind of combining it with the meat. Instead of just starting with the meat, and I see this on shows, they just crack the whole egg, you know, pile everything up and then start mixing. I mean, you're going to mix a long time. I don't like little pockets of things that are maybe too much seasoning or under-seasoned. And also texture of this, holding it together, of course, are the eggs and the proteins. There's no binder in there. There's no starch, no breadcrumbs, no oats. I mean, I guess making meatloaf, you know, you want it gluten-free. I mean, we always use the oats, because in the hotels we had the oats for oatmeal for breakfast, so we would often use that in meatloaf. So, but these meatballs, now you can bake them, you can brown them in a pan. Sometimes, of course, if they're round like a meatball, they say, oh, brown all the sides, you got to roll them around a little bit. That's why we do it in the oven, or run it in the pizza oven, a high oven, to sear the outside. You want them, you know, brown, and then we can finish baking them in some kind of sauce. The other way would be just to make them like a flattened meatball, almost like a little sausage patty. Then you can brown both sides. And those are nice too. They don't roll and off the table, I guess. So little patties like that. When one restaurant I worked, we would do fried meatballs. You know, I mean, they had the breadcrumb, but we'd double the egg in it, so it was a very, very soft mixture. And those would not, they wouldn't even hold their shape round. Those had to be flattened a little bit. So, but these meatballs, we're going to brown them up and make a white wine. We use a Chardonnay, which is the, you know, principal grape of Champagne, and some cream, and that's going to be thickened with the mustard, Dijon mustard, and reduced. So no flour or no starch in the sauce either. Keep it very light. And of course, when we do these tastings, they're walk around. There's not really a formal meal. But being that it's wintertime, we always like to put out a kind of a little heartier dish. Now, we're going to do a risotto. And often, you know, usually I'll have either a stuffed pasta or a pasta. But risotto seems to be the way to go. People can just take a little taste if they want, or they can have, you know, a little bit more on a plate. When you're doing a walk-around tasting, you want to make things relatively easy for people to eat, remembering that they are holding a glass. You know, you provide some small tables for people to rest things on, but you're not doing too much knife and fork stuff here. It's got to be, I like finger food, and I like not to have a lot of leftover, you know, so serving like a baked stuffed clam, now you got the clam shell. If you're, you know, serving a chicken wing, now you got a bone. And I try to make it convenient for the guest. But we're going to do a nice seasonal risotto, and this time of year, I mean, you can't go wrong with some butternut squash and some mushrooms, some dried cranberries. You could make this with chicken broth, your favorite risotto recipe, or with vegetable broth if you want to keep it vegetarian. Chicken, or if you have some turkey broth left over from that Thanksgiving turkey, it would be a good time to do that this week if you've got some stock left. But and we're also going to put in some braised broccoli rabe. We're serving that as a seasonal vegetable right now. And it really is a nice balance with the sweetness of the squash. Then you've got a little bit of bitterness from the broccoli rabe. We braised that with olive oil, a little garlic and onion. If you've got all these vegetables, roasted squash, the dried cranberries, I would either plump them in some warm stock or put them in early in the rice risotto process. But when the risotto's ready, then you've got these cooked vegetables that you fold in, and again, your Parmesan or Asiago at the end, and you've got a nice hot dish with all the holiday flavors in there, and gives you a little bit of substance for the meal. We're going to wind down here. Coming to the end of it, I hope you enjoy your sparkling wine or your champagne and a few snacks to go with it. Remember, nothing wrong. Nothing doesn't go with champagne. Very few things don't go with champagne, let's put it that way. But have fun with it. Good luck on your parties in the next couple of weeks, and talk to you next week.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. House Judiciary Committee will be holding its first public hearing on Wednesday to explore the framework in the U.S. Constitution to respond to allegations of possible impeachable misconduct against President Trump. As he leaves the White House this morning for the NATO summit in Europe, he told reporters he is not sending lawyers to the impeachment hearings because the investigation isn't valid.
Because the whole thing is a hoax. Everybody knows it. All you have to do is look at the words of the Ukrainian president that he just issued, and you know it's a hoax.
The Northeast is now getting its turn, seeing its first significant snowstorm of the season. Snow has started to fall across parts of the Northeast from Pennsylvania into New York and New England. And according to FlightAware, more than 1,200 air flights have been delayed because of it, and another 275 have been canceled. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president in my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build a wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee. rootwall.com.
The start of the holiday shopping season expected to set new records of almost $30 billion in sales. Today, Cyber Monday alone is expected to take in about $9.4 billion for retailers. Retail Metrics President Ken Perkins says there are still some deals to be found, not only online.
The brick-and-mortar retailers, a lot of the same deals are available, you know, whether it be a Target, a Macy's, a Kohl's, across the board, especially mall-based retailers, specialty apparel retailers like The Gap. But there are a handful of new deals being rolled out, particularly for exclusive online retailers only.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo calling on China to honor its treaty with Hong Kong. While speaking at the University of Louisville this morning, Pompeo said China must uphold that 1997 treaty that allows Hong Kong to operate under a different system than the rest of the nation. He said protests in Hong Kong are a result of people fed up with a lack of freedoms. Find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The U.S. Postal Service holiday deadlines are approaching. The USPS is expanding its Sunday package delivery in high-volume areas to accommodate the holiday rush. The service estimates it will deliver 28 million packages a day from December 16th through the 20th. Deadlines are also approaching to make sure your packages get where they're supposed to be in time for Christmas Day. A proposed change to state rules in Texas could allow ex-cons to work in security jobs. People with a record of things like a single DWI offense or single counts of pot possession would be able to work as a security guard or a private detective nationwide. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
USA's Wendy King has a look at the top movies at the box office over the holiday weekend.
Find who is calling to you. They may have answers.
I'm going with you.
Anna? No.
Excuse me, I climbed the North Mountain, survived a frozen heart, and saved you from my ex-boyfriend, so, you know, I'm coming.
Walt Disney's Frozen 2 gobbled up the majority of the box office receipts on its way to a record-breaking Thanksgiving holiday weekend. It brought in $85 million this weekend, with a total gross of $287 million over the week. Coming in at number 2, Knives Out, starring Daniel Craig at $27 million. Number 3, Ford vs. Ferrari at $13 million. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the story of Mr. Rogers, starring Tom Hanks, coming in at $11.8 million at number 4, and, almost tying it, Queen and Slim at $11.7 million, coming in at number 5. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Bill Nye the Science Guy now suing the Walt Disney Company, claiming the studio improperly held millions of dollars in profits related to his TV show. Nye's complaint says Disney's Buena Vista TV division engaged in questionable accounting practices, and he says the House of Mouse failed to cooperate with his requests to audit earnings of his show. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Our local weather today at hunterdonchamberradio.com. It's snowing a little bit outside right now in Flemington. 34 degrees. High might hit 35 today. Accumulation could be 3 to 5 inches around here, lesser in other areas. Apparently storms going across the country now. Tuesday clearing up, though. Sunny, high near 40. Tuesday night, increasing clouds, low around 26. Cloudy on Wednesday, the high would be in the 40s, back down to the high 20s on Wednesday night. Sunny on Thursday, high again in the 40s, low will be in the 20s. Looks like similar for Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Stay tuned for Seth Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Welcome to Chef Bill's Table here at 100inchamberradio.com, the voice of business in Flemington, New Jersey. Getting together on Mondays, talk mostly about food today with the holiday season. It's fast upon us. Thanksgiving was so late, and I can't believe in a little over 3 weeks, Christmas. Of course, Hanukkah starts other winter celebrations. Holiday sales have been on for a while. Cyber Monday today. Everybody starts shopping. But if you're planning holiday parties, it's only got a couple of available weekends now. And we're doing our annual champagne tasting at Jake's, sponsored by Central Wine Merchants. I'm not sure if there's any available slots yet. It is Wednesday at 6:30. Contact Central Wine Merchants for information. And what we do is it's primarily for people to try and sample different sparkling wines, mostly champagnes, and anticipation of purchasing for the holidays. And guys are there and can write up the orders. So it's a good chance, especially with the expensive, good French champagne. If you're looking for something new or different, it's an easy way to try it. Low risk. Decide what you like and don't like. And say we do this every year. Champagne is one of those things. Sparkling wine, I should use the general term because there's many other wines out there that are not called champagne, made in a similar way. But sparkling wine kind of goes with everything, and even in breakfast, brunch, right? Mimosas, people love that little bit of bubbly, right? Neat thing about champagne or sparkling wines is you're not really serving as much per person. We talk about how it's made and what does drive the cost up on good sparkling wine or good champagne. Many factors go into it, but basically you're serving 3 or 4 ounces versus maybe 6 ounces or more, or about 6 ounces maybe average for a glass of still wine. Still wine meaning something without bubbles. The bubbles, it's celebratory. It kind of speeds up the alcohol absorption as you feel like you have a little champagne toast and right away you're in, you know, loosen up a little bit. It's not that they're high alcohol wines, but they just get into your system a little bit quicker. And also you find with the sparkling wines that they do go, and even with a food like eggs, which normally, you know, does not do well with other wines, especially red wines, although you can find examples of anything that will go with specific foods. There's a few things, though, that we try to often avoid at tastings, but, you know, again, it's personal taste, whatever you like. There's, you know, there's eggs poached in red wine, but you need to pick the correct red wine. So sparkling wine, champagne, what is it? How do those bubbles get in there? Why is it so expensive? Well, the champagne process is, well, it used to be very labor-intensive, and probably with some producers it still is, because you put the wine through what's called a second fermentation. So fermentation, when you make wine or any beverage alcohol, you take something that has sugar in it, and you add yeast, and the result is carbon dioxide, which in an open vat or even a closed vat with some kind of escape mechanism, the CO2 is released, and alcohol is the other byproduct. And when all the sugar in the beverage is consumed by the yeast, then the fermentation stops. Or if there's too much in there and the alcohol level gets too high for these yeasts, it kills the yeast. Can't survive. That's why your table wines are normally, they cap out at, you know, you won't see one for much over 15% alcohol by volume. You get into the higher alcohol wines, fortified wines that have some brandy and other, you know, it has to be a wine product in there, that, you know, preserves the wine, stops fermentation, and then the wine is aged. I'm thinking of sherries, ports, things like that. Madeira, Marsala. So with the champagne, so we put the wine through its first fermentation. And now we've got to get bubbles in there. Of course, we lost all the bubbles when we fermented the juice. And now we want to get some more in there. The second fermentation is once the wine is either it's blended oftentimes, or if it's a straight single grape, another tirage or measure of yeast and sugar are added enough to make some bubbles, and they have to be trapped in there. So in the traditional method, of course, they're trapped in the bottle and make the bubbles. Somehow now we've got bubbles in there, but we have some dead yeast cells, other things in the wine that we want to get out of there. How do we do that? The wine is what we call riddled. It's of course, they're stored on their side. There's machines that will turn the wine now. They used to be done by hand. Turn the bottles slowly and kind of increase the angle that they're up. So at the end of this process, the wine is pretty much upside down. Anything that's in the wine, any sediment or yeast cells, are down in the neck of the bottle, and they've settled there. So at this point, the wine would be the neck of the bottle, super chilled, or usually a brine solution that freezes that yeast plug. The wine won't freeze because it's got alcohol in it, but the yeast plug will freeze. The bottle, then the disgorgement is, the cork is taken, released. Of course, the wine is at very low temperature. The yeast plug comes out, and then the bottle is quickly recorked. You can see this is, you know, a timing thing. I mean, there's machines that do it. There's a process called the transfer process, whereby, and I've witnessed this at a winery, where the wine is aged and fermented in bottles, and then all the wine is emptied out under pressure still, and then rebottled in bottles with label on them for sale. The bottles that are used for aging are a lot heavier. There's, of course, breakage would be a danger with that high pressure of the carbonation. So, I mean, that's just part of the process. Another, with champagne, especially French champagne, of course, they're blended, unless it's, they say Blanc de Blanc, which means all Chardonnay grape, the only white grape permitted. The other two grapes that are permitted in traditional champagne from France, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, they're both red grapes, but all free-run grape juice is white. And the red color comes when red wine is fermented with the skins, which add the tannins and the other complex flavors and colors to red wine. If you just have the juice is clear. A rosé champagne, there might be a little bit of contact with the skin, so it gets that nice pink blush color. And, of course, we'll put different characteristics into the wine. My favorite is a Brut Rosé, very dry, and with a little bit of that red wine characteristic in it. So we've gotten this far. Champagnes are blended, and unless they're vintage champagnes, which are very expensive, meaning all the grapes in that batch have to come from that year's harvest, most wines are non-vintage, and they're blended for a house style. So you might have up to 3 years of fermented grape juice waiting in the wings, as we say, and then the winemaker, the blender, will come up with the taste that he or she wants to represent that house style, and the wine is very consistent from year to year. Vintage champagnes, you know, are only done in great vintages, so they're normally great wines, but expensive. Your non-vintage French champagne, if you find a style that you like, you stick with it, and you're always going to experience a pretty consistent wine. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back and finish up the process, and then what are we going to enjoy with the champagne or sparkling wine? Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back at Chef Bill's Table, but talking about sparkling wine. So champagne, basically, again, expensive process. It If you non-vintage means it's blended harvest from different years. Blanc de Blanc would mean it's just a Chardonnay grape in there. If you don't see Blanc de Blanc on the label, then you can assume that one or both of the other red grapes juices in there. I think it adds a little more character. And the process, traditional method, or bottle fermented, fermented in the bottle, fermented in this bottle, fermented in the bottle could mean it was still a transfer process, but the method's the same. And other countries that produce sparkling wine, Spanish Cava, will say using method tradicional, which means it was done bottle fermented, same process, but again, different grapes. Cavas are usually a great buy, less expensive grapes, obviously in the Champagne region, a small region. Champagne coming from there is the only wine really permitted to be called Champagne. Other areas in France produce sparkling wines. Normally you'll see them preceded by a Cremant, that term. And that would mean sparkling wines could be from the Loire region, other regions besides Champagne, and still same process, but for not from the Champagne district. It's like anything. If you're a small district and you've got limited production, high demand, of course, the prices will get higher. And as I say, the Champagne, the process is labor-intensive. Now, there's other processes out there. The Charmat or bulk process, where instead of fermenting in individual bottles, it's in a big tank. And the result is similar. The bubbles aren't quite as fine. Long-lasting bubbles, of course, after you've poured the wine, a lot of that has to do with the proper glass. If you want a tall flute or a tulip glass, although for a rosé brut, I like something with has a little bit of a bowl to it, and then the top flares outward, and that really helps where the wine enters your palate, the flavors. You lose the bubbles a little bit quicker, but you still get that little tingle from the carbonic acid in there, so still nice. But be careful pouring it. Of course, you want it fairly well chilled, but the bubbles will they'll fill up the glass pretty quickly, so you don't want to waste any. And also opening the bottle, you have to be careful. And you always see people popping the cork or sabering it open, and of course a lot of the wine flies out. You don't want to do that. When you undo the seal and the wire cage that's holding it because of the high pressure, and what you do is you hold the cork and twist the bottle. Keep your thumb over the top of it, and just you should hear a little hiss or a little. Pff, you don't want the big bang pop and thing flying. It's dangerous for one thing, and you're going to lose a lot of wine. So make sure the wine is well chilled. Obviously, don't shake it up, and open it carefully. So we've got the Charmat bulk process and other wines we're seeing now. And we had one the other day called a Pet. Nat, or Petillant Naturel. Petillant is a slight fizz. A lot of regions in the world produce wines that will have that, not quite fully carbonated, but a little bit of frizzante, as the Italians call it, little bit of a spritz to it. And the Petnat wines, actually that process was before the Champagne method, with the second fermentation in the bottle. The Petnat is when you're fermenting, and what they'll do is do the whole fermentation in the bottle and not disgorge it, not riddle it, not release it. So sometimes these wines might be a little cloudy. So, on occasion they will filter them and rebottle them, but mostly, you're getting what you get. And these are really up to the skill of the winemaker. And you can taste them. They're pleasant wines, and you will find those in other regions, not just Champagne, but other white wines. They're really a different process. It's the ancestral, original process, let's say. The Charmat, the bulk process, Prosecco is pretty much done like that. Again, any wines the bubbles getting in with the bulk process are going to be a lot less expensive. You don't have all that handling and labor. I say the bubbles, sometimes people think, well, they're not as fine or is not as long lasting, but still very pleasant, very drinkable wines. And of course, your very inexpensive ones are done just like making soda. You chill it down and inject with carbon dioxide. And those you can really recognize that bubbles are like soda. They're larger, they dissipate very quickly, and, you know, it's probably more like soda pop than, of course, not as sweet, but, you know, it's, you get what you pay for. Now, another thing you'd look at on the label is the sweetness level, and Brut or Extra Brut, Brut Zero, that's your no residual sugar in there. And Extra Dry, believe it or not, has a tiny bit of residual sugar, barely perceptible, not a sweet wine by any means, but barely perceptible on the palate. And oftentimes, you know, for a crowd, that's normally what's served. Again, it's not sweet. If you have a sec or a demi-sec, those are sweet. Asti Spumantes can be sweet. Those would be for dessert. Your Extra Dry or Dry, of course, is said to have a little bit of sugar. I prefer the Brut because I want no sugar in there. And that's the one that really, you know, kind of goes with a lot of foods. Although, again, if your palate is, if you like that Extra Dry, that, again, it's not really, it's barely perceptible as sweet. It's Extra Dry, for people starting out, you know, oftentimes that's what they prefer. But look for that on the label. As I said, Spain produces, most countries that produce sparkling wine. USA, obviously, California, New York State. Many good examples, and several French producers have vineyards over in California. And so you're going to get the skill of the winemaker, the company, and maybe not as expensive as having to import something from France. German sparkling wine, another good examples of white wine, Sekt, S-E-K-T. And those were, I mean, many German wines were, sugar was added. That was always the flavor the Germans sought after. And now, of course, the dry wines are becoming more popular with the younger people. And the Sekt, do you want to get the very dry? So what do we serve with champagne or sparkling? As I said, it kind of goes with anything, but we think of with the bubbles and the liveliness of the wine, very good with fried foods. As we said, you know, eggs, breakfast, of course, champagne, mimosas, drinks like that do well with breakfast. I find if you don't know what to serve with the meal, the sparkling wine will go well with anything, even if it's a white wine. It's still very tasty, and like with the bubbles, you know, Americans, we, our favorite beverages are soda and beer, so I mean the bubbles say it all. So if you're doing a party, you know, what do I serve? Of course, wine and cheese. Let's start with the basics. Everybody thinks of wine and cheese. White wines are a little bit better suited for cheese, although there are some great matches with like port and Stilton cheese. Oftentimes in a formal meal, the cheese course will be after salad, which is after the dinner. So you know, you carry the red wine would carry into some of the cheese courses. I've had some great red wine and cheese matchups. Beer is great with cheese, but the champagne, what I like, my favorite is a brie or a camembert. Serve something like a good high fat content soft cheese, although a salty one would work also. At our tasting, I'm going to have brie and Munster, you know, milder cheeses, but then I'll also be using Asiago cheese on another item that we're serving. If I'm thinking avocado, and normally, I mean, of course, guacamole would always be a good snack to put out. We're going to do avocado toast. When we come back after the news, we'll have some other suggestions, and I can give you a couple of recipes here for some things that you might want to serve with your sparkling wine, Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Lawyers for President Trump announcing late Sunday they will not participate in the House Judiciary Committee's first public impeachment hearing on Wednesday, and at the same time they aired a long list of complaints that they say prevent any semblance of a fair process. The Democratic Committee Chairman, Gerald Nadler, had told President Trump he had until 6 p.m. Sunday to notify the committee that he and or his lawyers would attend. Nadler has still given Trump until Friday to decide whether to participate more broadly in the impeachment process. President Trump will be heading to London today ahead of the NATO summit, which begins tomorrow and runs through Wednesday. The president scheduled to meet one-on-one with a number of European leaders, including the president of France and the German chancellor. Trump does not have a meeting scheduled with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. This is USA Radio News.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do you do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Table here at WHCRDB. So, I mentioned before the break, avocado toast. Popular item. You see it everywhere. Guacamole, of course. Hey, you have your jalapenos and things in there. And we're going to try to make it a little less spicy. And just simply mash the avocado and season it. And with the Mexican street corn on top. I've seen that combination out there. Pretty tasty. So you have normally Mexican street corn, you grilling the corn, and then some mayonnaise, the cotija cheese, or you know, you could use other grated cheeses, but traditionally they would use that kind of semi-sharp, you know, more of an aged cheese. Just a little chili powder and squeeze some lime, and you enjoy it like that. So we roast off corn for our black bean and corn salad all the time. So we're going to take that same corn that's roasted with some chili powder seasonings and add some lime juice. Not really going to use the mayonnaise because we've got the avocado. There's enough nice fat in there. But we will put some shredded Asiago, and I've served Asiago on other crostinis in the past, with hashed Brussels sprouts and other things, and a little sprinkle of Asiago, of course, yeah, you can get it domestic or imported. It's not Parmesan Reggiano. It's other form of similar flavor. I find it's nice. Shred it on our Caesar salad. We used to use the Parmesan, but the Asiago, it's a good potent cheese. A little bit of that will go along with the nice, rich avocado and roasted corn. So that should be, you're going to use a whole grain bread. Toast it first, obviously, and make canapes out of that. So that'll be one of the little noshes that we do. I like tuna poke. We've been serving it as an appetizer or as a bowl. I normally will do some kind of raw tuna dish. It's got that meat-like texture, but it is seafood. We've done tartare in the past, a traditional way, and then we kind of led into this thing with a little ginger oil, and now the poke, the Hawaiian dish, marinated raw either tuna or salmon. And, of course, smoked salmon would be another nice thing. Many times our tastings in the past, I've done smoked salmon with a little sour cream or horseradish cream or some kind of dairy product like that. Would be done it on a potato chip. I've done it on little steamed red potatoes that are hollowed out. Put that little bit of horseradish cream or creme fraiche in there, or if you like the dill, and then a little curl of smoked salmon on top. But smoked fish do very well with champagne. But the poke, we take, we do a soy kind of sweet chili mix. So say, that Thai chili sauce you see in the store, the bottled stuff, it's got a good spice, good sweetness. It's basically just chilies and sugar, and maybe a little bit of garlic. That's the one we use. We have that little sweetness in there. Many poke recipes will call for maybe a little bit of sugar or something. So we use a cup of that and about a half a cup of soy sauce. So that gives you a sweet and spicy and salty. We'll put a little bit of sesame oil in there. I like that mouthfeel. I like the toasted sesame oil, by the way. That's the little more aromas out of that. And then we have some black and white sesame seeds in there. And then a teaspoon of ginger. Now, the ginger, you could grate the ginger. You could, if your powdered ginger is fresh, you could use that. Spreads it around a little bit more. Or instead of with the sesame oil, you could marinate ginger in the sesame oil overnight and in the refrigerator and just strain out the oil if you don't want the little bits of ginger in there. If you don't mind little pieces of ginger, then by all means shred the ginger and put it in there. So either fresh, I said powdered in a pinch, you could use that. And mix it up. And the poke, we make it to order, so it's not really marinating a long time. If you're serving it as a party, you could make it a little bit of ahead, and it will. I found with things like a tartare, if there's any acid ingredients in there, then the tuna, the meat kind of changes color a little bit. With the soy sauce, I wouldn't make it too far ahead, but if you want the flavors to permeate, it's simply cubed tuna, not really fine chopped like a tartare. Usually it's about 1/4 inch or so cubes, and mix that together. Now we'll put it on a fried wonton chip because then it can pick it up like a little canapé. When we serve our appetizer, we serve it with a few wonton chips, and simply put the tuna on there. Now we're going to dress it with a wasabi mayonnaise to pick up the spice a little bit. We'll also serve it with a little bit of the wakame seaweed salad, get a little bit of crunch in there, and it makes a nice appetizer.
And it's going for memories to remind me.
another seafood item. Again, always like some kind of mushroom, stuffed mushrooms. So we're going to do crab meat. And a crab meat gratin would be nice, something with the cheeses or even like a crab dip with the mayonnaise and the cheese, a lot of fat products in there. We decided we're going to go with more of a dynamite or creamy spicy sauce that you see in sushi places. And that's mayonnaise with some of the sriracha in there or any kind of red chili paste. And normally it's seafood. They're served with mushrooms. So the mushrooms are cooked, and then you have your – we've done it with scallops. We've done it with shrimp. You bake the shrimp or the scallops or crab meat on top of the mushrooms with this coating of the sriracha mayonnaise, and it kind of, you know, browns and bubbles nicely. It's the sauce for the fish. You've got that, you know, that the – mouthfeel, the richness of that mayonnaise, and then you've got, of course, the eggs and the mayo are going to brown a little bit lighter texture than using cream cheese, and it pairs well with the mushrooms. So I thought, well, you know, we're going to stuff some mushroom caps. Now, when I do stuffed mushrooms of any kind, you know, the nice caps, of course, take the stem out, and I always par cook the mushrooms. Now, you can roast them in the oven. That's usually what we do, or you can steam them. You don't want, if you're starting with the raw mushroom, of course, it's going to take a while for that mushroom to cook. It shrinks a little bit, some liquid comes out of it. So I like to just par cook. I don't want to cook them all the way, but just to, you know, see what I'm dealing with as far as the size. Plus, it speeds up the baking time with the final product. With a large stuffing mushroom cap, Even if it's got a sausage mixture in there. Now, if I was putting raw sausage in the mushroom, I might bake it in a raw mushroom cap. But normally, it's cooked, mixing it with a little bit of ricotta or other little parmesan, some spices, and then in the cap. So I'll use a cooked mushroom cap. So that should that combination should work out well. So and then you know, seafood, as I say, anything. I mean, if you can pull off frying things at home. Great idea. We're going to do a slider version of our buttermilk brined fried chicken sandwich. Why not have an item that we serve at the restaurant? We use a nice potato roll, slider roll. We marinate in it's half pickle juice and half buttermilk. And we put a little dash of Frank's hot sauce in there, and of course the chicken should marinate for at least overnight, and then we double dust it so it's in that buttermilk marinade. We make a flour and cornstarch mix. Cornstarch keeps it even crisper. Season the flour, salt and pepper, a little bit of onion powder, and some poultry seasoning. Blend that well. If you're using the cornstarch and flour mix, you really want to whisk it together. There's two different textures there, so you want that to all mix together very well. And we'll dredge in that flour once with the brine chicken, and then back into the brine, and then back in the flour again. So you got two coatings there. It's a nice craggy, you know, all the little nooks and crannies there. A lot of surface area, which means a lot of crunch. And so for a slider, of course, little pieces could be a little butterfly chicken tenderloin or a slice of chicken breast. You know, it's flattened, marinated, and we'll serve that with we usually serve it with a Cajun ranch dressing and a little bit of coleslaw. Might vary it up a little bit for the champagne tasting. Maybe make a different kind of slaw on there for the crunch, but any kind of combination like that. Of course, a crunchy salad type thing, especially a slaw, just reinforces the crunchiness of the fried chicken. We've got a break for a couple of messages, but what's on the horizon? Oh, we're going to do a veal and ricotta meatball, maybe a different kind of hummus, a few other ideas coming up. Chef Bill's Table. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Table here back at Chef Bill's table. So what do we do? Oh, so we've got our seafood, our fried chicken again. Fried chicken is the new national craze, it seems, and happens to go very well with sparkling wine. Our meatballs, always like some kind of meatball at a party, and you know, the traditional, you know, Swedish meatballs, things like that. We're going to do a Dijon cream sauce, so we'll be, I guess, you know, close to a Swedish style, but I think with the mustard in there, will go well with the wine. And I'm doing veal and ricotta. I'm making them gluten-free, and sometimes, you know, we're challenged in the restaurants. We want to accommodate everybody's taste, and, you know, the wheat gluten thing seems to be a pretty, whether not so much for allergic reactions as much as for lifestyle. Trying to avoid processed starches, things like that, and sugars. This one just happens to work anyway, derived from a food called, or an item called nudi, N-U-D-I. It's like a ravioli without the pasta, oftentimes done with spinach, and they're basically kind of a little dumpling. So with these, the veal, I use ground veal because it's nice and mild, very fine texture. You could use ground pork. If this was for ground chicken or turkey, those meats are a little bit wet, and I would have to think about changing the recipe a little bit. Veal I found to be the best thing to use for these. So, and it's a lot of ricotta, so say if you got a pound and a quarter of ground veal, about 12 ounces of ricotta, so a cup and a half. Two eggs beaten, a couple of tablespoons of parsley. We need a little bit of salt, maybe, you know, a teaspoon of salt, teaspoon of pepper. And I put nutmeg in there just like I would for a Swedish style. And a little quarter teaspoon of granulated garlic and granulated onion. I don't have any chunky cooked vegetables. And usually when I make these mixtures, I like them to be smooth. I like the texture. I don't care if it's a crab cake, a meatball. Even a meatloaf is nice with some cooked onions and peppers in it. But most of the time I use the granulated version. So I don't have any surprises on undercooked or vegetable chunks in there. I like the product just to shine through. And also 3/4 of a cup of Parmesan. So when I'm making any kind of mixture like this,